This hour of Overdrive, powered by ESET. Protect your PCs, smartphones, and tablets with ESET, official IT partner of Rogers Cup.
Nice. Joe Cocker over the Stones today.
You know why they played his music? You know why, Gord? Because we OGs. Yeah. The old guys. Yeah. It's been nice to be with you the last couple of days.
I'm not as old as Wikipedia says I am.
Nor me, but I will tell you that it's been great because I grew up admiring you, watching you. You're one of my heroes in the broadcast industry, so thank you so much.
Yeah, you can just roll that in a ball and stuff it, because you're older than I am.
Yes, I am. I am very old. I'm 56.
I'm 54. Wikipedia says
56,
I'm
going on 75.
So somebody keeps changing my birthday in Wikipedia. You know that?
Not really.
Yeah, so I was born June 21st, 1965, and someone keeps changing it June 21st, 1964. So Kevin Gibson, our stats guy here, will go on and sign in and change it back to 65. Yeah. And within 2 hours, someone out there has changed it back to 64.
I have a wrong date or something, because every February 23rd, I get all these. I'm a BlackBerry user. My texts blow up, and it's like, happy birthday. And I go,
oh.
And it's like, happy birthday. And it's like, I got 100. Why? It's not my birthday. But I guess off of Wikipedia or social media or something.
When I turned 49, I got like 100. So yeah, hey, happy 50th birthday. No, it's not my next year.
Yeah.
And I had to prove to people. No, it's like, I'm not shaving a year off my year. I don't care.
Yeah, no.
So coming up in this hour, we're going to talk to Steve Phillips, our Major League Baseball and Blue Jay analyst, about the Jays and what's going on there. Also, I mean, the Yankees and Orioles, I got to talk about that. I mean, just
Gleyber Torres. The Thorn Buster.
Now, we're going to give away a McDonald's gift card, $100 today, and we're going to ask you a trivia question. If you were listening to our Gary Thorne interview, the answer to our trivia question was in the interview. So if you paid attention to what Gary Thorne said.
When are you giving this trivia? And I know you're not going to give it to me beforehand.
6 o'clock, I think.
All right. So, yesterday's was a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, Ray Kroc.
We went deep on that.
We'll have some more Sound Wars. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to talk to Logan Couture of the San Jose Sharks, who's got his charity event, the Celebrity Casino event coming up in London on Thursday. So,
what are the proceeds for?
It goes to
brain research,
education awareness programs for kids in London and Kitchener-Waterloo.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
good for him.
All in for brain research.
So, yeah. Important. Well, yeah. Funny. I don't think a day goes by in sports media that you're not talking about this subject matter now. And everybody talking. You know what the great thing is? People are doing something about it. There was used to always be the doom and the gloom. I believe there was a lot of talk about, CTE and this and concussions. And, you know, I do think a lot of parents were thinking about not putting their kids in sports because of the possibility. I know I have friends who will not let their kids play football, for instance, or hockey because of the possibility. Let's get over that. You know, let's find solutions. And it's still better for a kid to play a sport.
Yes.
No matter the danger, than it is not to play a sport. Trust me.
And I do think that there is, I understand the concerns, but if your kid is, you know, playing out in the park and wrestling with his buddies or doing, there are all kinds of dangers around. But I do think football is an issue. Football at the entry levels.
Yeah,
has experienced a major drop-off.
I would agree.
It's Pop Warner football in the United States at that level. They've had a major drop-off.
I would agree.
So, and what I find interesting is, I do college hockey for NBC, is the number of former NFL players whose kids play hockey because they want a contact sport and competitive sport, but their parents wouldn't let them play football.
Do they also understand that you're playing hockey at a very high level and a high speed, that there's also a possibility of a concussion?
But reduced as opposed to football.
I also do believe in football, though, there's probably more serious injuries, not just related to concussions. I'm talking about fractures, broken bones, high ankle sprains, which are really tough, ACL injuries.
Yeah.
Achilles tendon injuries. We've seen a lot. I know we have David Sanchez coming on. I'd like to see what Sanchez has to say about that talk about a lot of people not putting their kids in football or not wanting to play football, because I do believe that, that that's happening, but I also know that playing football, and I used to play football at the junior level, I still, the greatest memories I had, and I played a lot of different sports with game day, being with your buddies, mm-hmm. and I got so much out of that game. I got banged up and hurt, and everybody does, but boy, it still was better to play than not to play.
Absolutely. And speaking of playing and a very good player, joining us now is Logan Couture, who is hosting his All In for Brain Research Charity Casino on Thursday in London. Logan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Logan, we're going to get to the story. My favorite story about an NHL player is about your birth, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But tell us a little bit about what you've got going on Thursday.
Yeah, so Thursday night is the third annual All-In for Brain Research in London, Ontario. I had one earlier in July in Kitchener-Waterloo for the second year. It's a casino night. Where a couple of local celebrities will come, and fans come and play casino games for fun to raise money, and it all goes towards research, brain research.
And what? Why is this near and dear to your heart?
Many reasons. I've played with some players over the years that have had injuries, and being a hockey player, it's common and. In sport, I've seen kids go through them. I think there's so much that we need to learn about the brain and how it recovers from concussions and other traumatic events. So I think there's just a lot to learn. And in London, Ontario, there's a lot of good groups doing good work.
Yeah, Logan, I know Eric Lindros has been a great advocate for the fight to find, you know, preventions, to find solutions. I don't know if you've talked with Eric very much about it, but what have you learned yourself since you started this process and started doing these charitable events and started raising money for brain research?
I have talked to Eric. He's been a big help. Obviously, he's done a lot in this city, donating a lot of time and money towards research at the University of Western Ontario, and I believe he will be there on at the event on Thursday. He's attended the last couple of years, so he's been a huge support. You know, I've learned quite a bit. I think the research has come a long way in a short amount of time, but there's still so much that can be done. So just willing to help, and I'm glad to help.
So Eric Lindros is listed there. Drew Doughty will be there. Along with Damian Warner, the Olympic decathlete, and Jessica Zelenka, the heptathlete, Olympic heptathlete. So it's a pretty good crew you got going there. Let me ask you this, switching to hockey for a minute. How many times have you been asked about Game 7 against Vegas since it happened?
quite a few. You know, I've actually rewatched it a few times over the summer. If I've got nothing to do and I'm a little bored, I'll turn it on just for the third period. The first 2 periods, kind of trying to forget about. But yeah, that whole series, man, that was you know, obviously a biased opinion, but I think that was the best series in the whole playoffs. And fans definitely got their money's worth for both teams. I mean, it had everything. It had physicality. It had a few blowouts. It obviously had the big comeback and a couple overtime or an overtime, yeah, a few overtime games, and you know, everything that NHL hockey has, that series had. So just an amazing series to be a part of.
With Logan Couture of the San Jose Sharks, Logan, as many times as Gord talked about, you know, that series, how many times have you thought about the St. Louis Blues this summer? And going around and their celebrations, maybe even the Brett Hull celebration, which was absolutely crazy. But looking at what they did, and probably got a little pissed off at that, the fact that they have the Stanley Cup and you don't, but also maybe inspired by the fact that a team like the Blues could have done what they did.
Yeah, obviously it's difficult when you lose to a team that goes on to win it all, and it's happened to us, I believe, a couple times now. Three or four times in my 10 years in the league. I mean, I've been fortunate to go on some very, very long runs with the Sharks. 4 conference finals in 10 years is pretty remarkable. But we've never won at all. So very disappointing when you lose and then you lose to the eventual winner. It stings that little bit more. But yeah, they had a great run, and that series. You know, I think about it from start to finish. We started out strong, and we had a few injuries that really hurt us down the stretch. But they took advantage of those opportunities, and you know, I was happy for a few of the players and their team that I know. And you know, if it wasn't us, and you know, happy for them.
So a new look for San Jose next year. Joe Pavelski has moved on, and you're in London, Ontario. Any news on Jumbo Joe and what his plans are?
Yeah, it's going to be different. You know, Pavs was such a great player and leader in our dressing room, and he's been a Shark for 13 years. So to not see number eight skating out of the Shark head in a Shark uniform is going to be very, very different. But Jumbo, I think Jumbo's out in Switzerland now. He was only in London or St. Thomas for a couple of weeks. I think he might be out in Switzerland heading back to San Jose, I believe, soon. I think he's got his kids out in school, so that's a good sign for us.
Could you imagine how long that beard is if he kept it on?
I hope he trimmed it a little bit. He's gotten habits the last couple of years of at least trimming it, so I hope he did this.
How much of a, you know, on the other side, as we were talking about earlier, you're such a huge Canadian, Ontario sports fan. I know a Blue Jay and a Raptor supporter. What was that like for Logan Couture watching Raptors run?
Yeah, it was fun. We were obviously still playing for a lot of it, so we missed a few other games. But we've got a few Toronto guys on the team that follow the Raptors pretty closely. I was fortunate enough to get to go to game four at Oracle. Eric Carlson actually had an extra ticket from Jonas Jerebko, the Swede on the Warriors. So I was sitting in the family section with Eric, really trying quietly to cheer for the Raptors. And the Currys were close by, and the owner's family was right behind us. But I still got a few fist bumps in. But pretty cool experience to watch them win. You know, I was really happy for the city of Toronto. They deserve a championship.
Well, it's funny because there you are in the Bay Area, right? And all the, you know, and all the excitement and attention that the Warriors.
I don't think Logan Couture is wearing his Raptor jersey, no, unless you wore it to the rink.
You didn't wear a jersey, did you?
I couldn't. No, we went down to the family, the Warriors family room at halftime, and there's no way I was wearing it.
So, where are you from, Logan? No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you excited about the Blue Jays too? I mean, I know you follow sports, but are you watching these young Blue Jays?
I have been. The Jays are my second team. The Buffalo Bills are number one, and they always will be number one. But the Jays are right there, number two. I mean,
did that happen?
My uncle was a big Bills fan, and I mean, I grew up when they went to the four Super Bowls back to back to back to back, and they just stuck with Jim Kelly was my guy, and they just stuck with me. But yeah, they're number one. Jays are close too.
So Logan, your dad. Chet, right? Was your dad? Is your dad's name?
Yeah.
It was a famous lacrosse referee, like one of the most famous lacrosse referees there is. I want you to tell us a story about the night you were born and another officiating family that plays a role in this.
Yeah. So I have obviously heard the story through him, but I was born in Guelph, and the mother of Dvorsky, Greg, I believe. Yeah, Greg Dvorsky's mother actually was the nurse that delivered me.
Right. So apparently what your dad told me, that what happened was the doctor got delayed, and so Bernadette Dvorsky, who is Paul Dvorsky and Greg Dvorsky's mom, actually delivered you. So you cannot talk back to the Dvorskys.
As long as they don't deliver you to the penalty box.
Yeah. Yeah, they're two of the nicest refs there are, so it's easy to not talk back to them.
As the son of an official, do you have a different, maybe, view of them than others might?
I think so. I believe I do. I mean, I remember going to lacrosse games. You know, my brother, my mom, and I would go, and we'd get our tickets from Will Call, and my mom would always say, don't let on that you're an official related to the officials at all. Don't cheer for either team. Don't say anything about your first or last name. So we would sit there and we'd listen to fans just give it to my father during games. And you know, you feel bad for them because they're just trying to do the best job that they can to the best of their ability. And I mean, there's no winning being a referee, that's for sure.
You know, we chat about it often, about hockey players in the summertime, so different than, you know, not even too long ago. You know, you can take a little time off, I'm sure you did, after the playoff run. But how soon afterwards were you back at it? I know you have charity obligations. You know, you have the obligatory golf tournaments. I know you signed a new deal as well, which is nice. But what's the summer been like, and how often do you get back on the ice?
Yeah, well, for me, I have a tough time getting away from doing nothing. I mean, our season ended. I probably took about seven or eight days, and then I stayed out in San Jose for a few weeks. I'm doing a bunch of stuff in my backyard out there. So I was out there for a couple weeks after the season. I was right back into the gym. Actually, Jumbo and I were out there working out right away, and then I actually went to the Czech Republic for Tomáš Hertl's wedding. So I took a couple weeks off there, but I'm back skating now. I start in August, the start of August. We got a good group of pro players in the London area that get together and skate. So it's a great skate, and I feel like I'm getting back into it now. I obviously still need a couple more weeks of skating to feel myself, but good thing is I got a month to go, so I'll be ready.
And London, Ontario, per capita, is one of the best NHL cities in terms of homegrown produced players.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In the league.
Yeah, for sure.
You think
that whole
Drew Doughty and Joe Thornton and Corey Perry and yourself, and it's you must have great skates there.
Great skates, yeah. The other thing is a lot of players that play in junior in London, they end up moving here, buying places here because they love the city so much and they love the feel of the city. So, yeah, there's plenty of players to come out and skate with us, so it's a great group.
So your charity event that's coming up, is it poker mostly? Is that what it is, or is it just everything? Everybody's playing
everything. I mean, you can play poker, you can play blackjack, you can play roulette. There's war. Basically everything. War. There's basically everything you can play at casino, you can play at the event.
Who's the best poker player that you've played with in the past, if you play poker?
You know what? Our coaching staff set up a tournament when we played Vegas in the playoffs 2 years ago through the Bellagio. The owner of the Bellagio set it up with Doug Wilson and our coaching staff, and it was an awesome thing to do on the day between games 3 and 4, or whatever the games we were there for. And I won the first year.
Oh,
so I went to defend,
so
I went to defend my title last year. Yeah, I thought I was okay. I went to defend my title last year, and I think I was the first one out. So,
do you watch a lot of that stuff on television? Is that how you get it, or do you just because of your playing that you played with
a lot
of guys?
I think it was a lot of luck. Yeah, for the first year. But I don't think there's anyone that's too good on our team that could play in tournaments. But we just had fun with it.
Well, as Rod mentioned, you've got a new contract, and there's, you know, obviously going to be a different look in San Jose next year. Erik Karlsson is coming back, but there are some holes there. Do you feel more of a, not pressure, but an importance to your production going forward?
I don't, no. I try not to put any added pressure on myself. I feel pressure going into every year. I want to produce, and I hold myself to a high standard, and you know, I want to help our team win and give ourselves an opportunity to make the playoffs and play for the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's the ultimate goal going into the season. I've been fortunate to only miss the playoffs once, so I don't add any extra pressure. I think we had some younger players step up last year and fill voids. You know, Tomáš Hertl stepped into a massive role for us and turned into a huge player. Timo Meier was great. Kevin LeBanc. So I'm excited to see their progression next year. Hopefully have some surprises in training camp that we pick up some younger players to make the team and play some good minutes for us.
What did you learn about Erik Karlsson?
That he wants to win. He really, really wants to win. And, you know, he's a fun guy to be around. He enjoys to play hockey. I think you take for granted how when you only play against him twice a year like we did in San Jose, you don't realize how gifted he is with the puck, how he can see the ice and make passes that not many players, even in the NHL, can. That's the biggest thing. I mean, there are a lot of times throughout the start of the year where EK was looking to make passes and a lot of guys weren't ready because they didn't think he'd be able to get it to him. He's almost got that same type of Joe Thornton type of skill where you can find those holes. So he's a great player, and I'm just happy that he's sticking around.
Awesome. Logan, thanks for talking to us, and good luck with the event on Thursday night.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Logan Couture of the San Jose Sharks.
Great young man.
Who are, you know, it's amazing. They just, every year, seem to...
It's the hump. It's that hump. They get to the hump, and
they're competitive every year. Like, it's hard to make the play. He just talked about it.
Yeah.
Missed the playoffs once. It's hard to get there every year.
Don't you think that there's going to be 1 year? I honestly thought this past season was the season that the Sharks... But it goes to show you, here's another one. The year before, I kind of thought Winnipeg and, you know, you go... It's that almost that second series that how much it takes out of you getting ready for the third series, or even sometimes even the first series, and it is such a marathon, and you learn from it. I'd like to see, I mean, I'd like to see a lot of teams win the Stanley Cup, but I just, for the sake of that city, because they've been pounding on that door for so many years, and they've been really, really good. I think Logan Couture, by the way, if Jumbo Joe doesn't come back, I think he's a logical choice to be a captain on that team.
So he, you know, I think the thing is with the Sharks, I did game seven of that Vegas San Jose series. I talked to Eric Carlson that day. He could barely walk. Like, basically, when the season ended, when San Jose's season ended, Eric Carlson went to the hospital and said, give me the works. Like, he just, he was, you know, it was his hip, it was his knee, it was his ankle, everything. And so health is a big part of it. You know, I remember when L.A. won the Cup in 2012, they used the same six defensemen the entire playoffs. It health is such a big part of it.
And luck and pluck and goaltending, all those things.
So the Cup doesn't necessarily go to the best team. It goes to the team that's playing the best at that time and is the healthiest team at that time.
And that mantra, I don't think, pertains as much in any other sport than it does in hockey.
I think you're right.
You know, because the best teams usually win in the NBA. Generally win in the NBA. The best teams.
What happened?
The best teams in the National Football League win.
Right.
Best teams in Major League Baseball win. And all of those teams, by the way, are usually the highest profile, highest salary teams. But in hockey, we've seen it. Well, you know, we've seen an eighth place team win the Stanley Cup.
And the other thing is, too, you're right. And in the case of the Stanley Cup playoffs, you would never see, I don't think you'd ever see in the NBA, an eight seed sweep a one seed like Columbus did to Tampa.
No.
Eight seeds in the NBA almost never win.
It's a rarity. It happens, but then they usually get bounced the next round. Here's what I think, though, too, Gordon. I've seen this more than anybody the last couple of years, is how great teams and good teams are affected by the new playoff format. Yep. And how, you know, you play against your rival right away, you get the snot kicked out of you, you still win, and then you got to go play another series. We've seen what's happened to a couple of teams the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Still to come on this program, we'll talk to Steve Phillips, our Major League Baseball and Blue Jays analyst, about what's going on with Toronto, what's going on in that Baltimore-New York Yankee series.
We know what's going on in the Baltimore series. Gleyber Torres.
Davis Sanchez, a TSN CFL analyst, will come into the studio and join us. We've got a McDonald's gift card to give away in about a half an hour's time, and another edition of Sound Wars is coming up on Overdrive on TSN 1050 on the app and watching on TSN 4. Get off your BlackBerry. I haven't said that in a decade. I haven't said that in maybe 20 years.
There's a reason I have a BlackBerry. Because it's you can't get in.
What?
Can't get in. You have been lucky enough. I've been lucky enough to go with the Canadian military overseas. Right?
Yeah.
So this happened a couple of years ago. We went over with Guy Lafleur, Donovan Bailey. We had some female hockey players. Tessa Bonhomme came with us. Geneviève Lacasse. We had a band with us. And went to Crete on the ship. It was during Christmas. It was great to see all the men and women of our Canadian Armed Forces. Then we went to Kuwait, which was fascinating, you know, especially after what happened there. And it's very peaceful. And everything was good. And then we got to Ukraine, and it was a little tense. And as we're descending into Ukraine, everybody's phone was hacked. Everybody on the plane. We were still in the air, and everybody's phone was hacked, except two people, the general and Blackie.
Blackberry Blackie wasn't hacked.
That's not the reason I have it. I like the keyboard, man.
So when I go,
the keyboard.
When I go to Eastern Europe, I have a separate SIM card.
Well, that's a good idea, right?
So I take my regular SIM card out, put the other. So if they want to hack that, there's nothing.
When did you switch over? You're an iPhone guy now?
I am, yeah. I love my BlackBerry. I think about 10 years ago, Apple asked that a number of us switch over. Bob McKenzie fought it tooth and nail. But he's now... I
like both.
And you know what? And actually, BlackBerry, what BlackBerry does now is server technology.
Yeah.
BlackBerry's
they don't even make phones anymore.
Their enterprise technology is used... I mean, it's funny. My iPhone has BlackBerry Enterprise on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the enterprise... So my system is run by...
It's crazy when you think about how far we've come in sports. Like, I was thinking about technology the other day and, you know, video replay and how, you know, it wasn't too long ago. When was the last time you read a newspaper? I love reading a newspaper.
I read them online, yeah.
Yeah, but you
subscribe to them online.
Don't have a...
No, I get the Saturday Globe still.
I'll get it in the airport, read it on the airplane.
I still get the Saturday Globe delivered, but, you know, here's the funny thing. Like, so, yes, we are both over 50. When I started in Edmonton in 1983, I would say that roughly 30 Oiler games were televised in a year.
So, I did the Jets in 82, and we did 16.
You did 16.
16.
So between that and Hockey Night, you know, there would be X number of games. So more than half the games weren't done. So a Sunday night game, this is, you know, so when the Oilers played on Sunday night at 6.
I know where you're going.
We would shoot two periods on film.
Mm-hmm.
The film had to get to the lab by 8:30 for processing. So that means the cameraman had to leave after two periods, take the film to the lab for processing, had to get processed. Then you had to take the film, spool it, and then cut it together. And you didn't see the full highlights until Monday night at 6.
Which was absurd in that time.
Right. So think about that. I mean, now, if you it underlines a significant change in our business. Because it used to be that a hockey writer writing an Oiler game or a Jets game would say, or a Leaf game,
would give you complete highlights.
Right. At 6:04,
it wasn't opinionated.
Right, at 6:04, the first period, you know, Detroit took a penalty and Wendell Clark scored a power play.
And you read it the next day. You couldn't read it online.
Right. And so now that writer is being asked to offer analysis and opinion. And I think that's the danger, that when we want analysis and opinion, we have Ray Ferraro, we have Mike Johnson, we have Dave Poulin, we have Jamie McLennan, we have Craig Button. I think it's dangerous asking for game analysis
from someone who never played the game. I do believe that.
Right.
I think you've had to play the game.
I think, I mean, there's certain things you can know by watching a long time and understanding it, but you're asking people, to quote Pat Quinn at the Olympics in Salt Lake City, we have experts with no expertise.
Yeah.
So I do think that that's been a major change. But now, if you want, I mean, if you're a hockey fan now, or a sports fan, you watched the Jays game last night. You can watch the game on TV. You can watch the post-game comments on the website. You can see analysis within minutes. Right?
Players can get it. They can get intel right away. They can get tablet right away. They can get information. It's where baseball's kind of struggled over the last few years getting to technology. We talk about umpire technology. We talk about all of this other stuff. I remember there was a talk about a video game, but a video assist that batters would use. And I've seen it where you can actually have the pitcher who was going to face you in a big screen, and actually the ball would come out. Clearly not like that, but it would be the actual pitcher.
A simulated,
It was simulated. And so, baseball's probably been the sport that has been most reluctant to change through the years.
So, speaking of baseball, joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline is our Major League Baseball and Blue Jays analyst, Steve Phillips. Steve, thanks for talking to us.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
So, what are you seeing, Steve, when you watch the Toronto Blue Jays this last week and a half?
Oh, I'm excited. I mean, I think that they are really a fun watch because you hang on every at bat, right? You think that every next pitch damage could be done, and that's a really fun offense to watch. And between Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio, and obviously Gurriel dinged up a little bit right now, but he'll be back at some point. They're a really fun team, and you can start to see the makings of the core four. I love that Jansen had a good offensive day and that he's starting to maybe come around a little bit, and I think he's better than what he's performed so far this year. And so I think they're really fun, exciting, and you can start to dream about what this team could be like a couple years down the road.
So, Steve, take us a couple years down the road and do the job that you used to do as a GM and kind of be Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro right now. And I know they've taken some heat by what happened, and especially I don't even want to say rebuild. Well, I guess essentially it is a rebuild or reload, and especially after what happened in 2015 and 16. What do you think your path would be right now? Saying they gave you the job and they said, "Here, go to it. You have all these young kids. How soon can these young kids take you to the next level?"
Yeah, I think that my goal would be playoffs in 2022. With the hope that it might happen a year early. We see a lot of these teams where things start to turn a year before maybe, then they really think they're ready. It's not going to be next year. And what they have to do is they have to, you know, they've got a core of young guys. They've got the top of the order sort of that they're building. They're going to have to fill with complementary players around them. They obviously have to go find some pitchers. And, you know, they're trying to find guys where they can through waivers and that sort of thing. Hope that Pearson is ready to go and ready to be sort of an impact pitcher, in 2020 to get some time, 2021 to sort of progress, and 2022 to be a leader of a staff. Hope to build around him in that rotation with some others. You've got to sort of target certain players that'll be part of the next 5-year run, and you might have to get them a year early rather than waiting for the perfect guy in the perfect time, because that guy has a choice too. He might say no. So you've got to start targeting some of those other players to go with this core. But you know, I would think that you know, the idea of being a real playoff team in 2022 is reasonable. But you know, they're going to have to go through this process to continue to grow and develop the players they have and add to some pitchers and complementary players around them.
So, Steve, you had a really interesting point to make on Twitter 4 days ago, and I'm going to read what you said. Did you know that the last three World Series champions combined had 33 pitchers who appeared in the series, and only three of them were homegrown? This reinforces that rebuilding teams should draft and develop position players and find pitching where they can along the way. And that kind of debunks, Steve, the common notion that, you know, especially here in Toronto, well, that's great, they got all these young guys. Where are they going to find pitching? It turns out you tend to find pitching somewhere else.
No, yeah, you can find it anywhere. I mean, you find it in free agency. I mean, you think back to the Cubs. You know, the Cubs signed John Lester as a free agent. They traded for Kyle Hendricks in a lesser deal. And they ended up, you know, making a deal for Jake Arrieta, and he turned into something better than he was when he was with Baltimore. You look at the Yankees this year. Domingo Herman's a former Marlin. He came from the Marlins organization. He wasn't a Yankee guy, and he's been a big part of their team this year. Paxton's from outside the organization. Tanaka was a free agent signing. Jay Happ, obviously a free agent signing. You look at, you know, the Braves have a lot of homegrown pitchers for sure. The Dodgers have Kershaw and Buehler, who are kind of their lead guys, but Ryu's obviously a free agent from outside the organization. The Astros, who many argue are the best team in baseball right now, Verlander's from the Tigers, Cole's from the Pirates, Miley's sort of bounced around to multiple teams that are out there. You know, Sanchez obviously came from Toronto, so you start looking at, you know, the depth of pitching that's out there right now, and you can find pitching. A guy who showed flashes somewhere but then ran into some struggles, target that guy, because when he had some level of success, you know that it's in there. That's what scouts will say, is I know it's in there because I saw it before. We got to figure out how to get it out. And we all think we're smarter than the next guy, that we're going to make the, you know, the pitcher back to you know, recreate what he once was. But the reality is it can happen. And so I think that you know, you're going to see a guy, you know, 3 years down the road, a Jameson Taillon from the Pittsburgh Pirates is going to be a free agent. Someone's going to sign him. He's going to blossom and become a front end of the pitcher, which is what Pittsburgh thought, but he never was able to do it. You're going to find some of those options out there, and that's how you build it. But it's much more difficult trading for everyday impact position players. Teams don't want to give those guys up. You can find mistakes made in the pitching market and go out and get them, and they can turn into be solid impact pitchers for your team.
So your impact position players, if you can actually germinate them and have them in your system like the Blue Jays do with these kids in the infield, and I don't know if it's unprecedented, you know, seeing what these kids through the infield have done, I think by DNA has helped quite considerably. But, you know, you've been around the game for a long time. Can you compare this group of, you know, Guerrero and Biggio and Bichette and Gurriel and the rest, but mostly that infield, to anything else that you've seen through the years? And how can they avoid the pitfalls of still being young players and they're going to make mistakes?
Yeah, I think that you know, look at the Houston Astros. Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman. Then they had Springer in the outfield. And then they, you know, and you look at the Kansas City Royals a few years ago, where they had Moustakas and Hosmer and Kane and Salvador Perez as sort of their core four. Now, Cedes Escobar at shortstop. And so, you know, here's the thing. I don't mind that they make mistakes. Because what they know and what they've shown throughout their minor league careers, and I think that the pedigree that they have is the ability to make adjustments, right? When you do make a mistake, what happens next? When you do fail, because this is a game inherent in failure, and 7 out of 10 times you're still good if you fail that way, is how do you handle that? That's the advantage of being the son of a former big leaguer really has, is that you deal with success and you deal with failure, and you've seen others do it. And you've been around it. You've been in clubhouses. You saw your dad go through it. And I think that's really the thing. And that's what, you know, you're seeing right now with Vladimir Guerrero make adjustments. Bo Bichette is really good at make adjustments. I went on SportsCenter tonight and sort of broke down the mental approach of Bo Bichette. And, you know, he does something that not a lot of hitters can do, but the best hitters do. And his approach, you know, a lot of guys say, I can't cover both sides of the plate. I have to choose. I can either cover the outside or the inside, but I can't really cover both. He actually has shown the ability to do that because he is so quick. inside. Like, he can get to that inside pitch. His natural instinct is to come back and hit that. He doesn't have to cheat to cover the inside part of the plate. So he starts out the at-bat focusing on, let me look for a fastball away. By the way, he's hitting 583 against fastballs so far, Bichette.
Wow.
583 on the fastball. He looks for the fastball away, then he adjusts to velocity and location in. And if they throw him an off-speed pitch, he's really good at keeping his hands back, where he's been able to sort of still stay back and punch the ball into the outfield, still able to drive it. And if they do dare to throw it inside, he'll just turn on it and crush it down the line or off the wall. And so you're seeing these guys make some of the adjustments here early on. We saw the Bichette or the Guerrero at bat against Chapman, 13 pitch bat. That was that to me was I know he grounded out into a double play.
That was theater.
That was theater, and he learned, and he showed. I mean, for a rookie to handle that at bat, where Chapman walked away saying, "I threw everything at him, but the kitchen sink and nothing." He said nothing. I couldn't nothing. Romine at the end of the game, after going through. Bichette, by the way, got a hit after the Guerrero at bat. Biggio struck out, but Romine, the catcher, walked out to the mound and looked at Chapman like, "Holy crap. What did we just have to go through?" And these kids are babies right now. They're going to keep getting better. It's really exciting to watch them play.
You know, Steve, Arnaldus Chapman's, his selection of pitches, everything, it just seemed to me like here's a guy who just dominates guys, just blows balls by them. And it was almost like he didn't even have an answer for Vladimir Guerrero.
Yeah, I mean, what the great pitchers do is they can make good hitters look bad. And Chapman's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And what Guerrero did, he swung at the first two pitches 100 miles per hour up in the zone, a little bit out of the zone, but he was trying to go big fly. He was trying to hit it out of the ballpark. Then he knuckled down. And the ability, after he fouls off sliders and fastballs in and fastballs away, to take a 101 mile per hour fastball up and away in the zone and not chase it, and to calmly take it, knowing that it's a ball. 21-year-old kids, they don't know how to do that. Like, he's doing stuff that's not normal. That's not what normal kids do. They would have, his dad, Vlad Sr., struck out against Chapman on five pitches back in 2011. You know, Junior lasted 13 and battled, and I think the next time he's gonna be able to do some damage. He'll have learned from it. He'll be able to sort of document in his brain what happened and be able to sort of use that the next time around to make an adjustment.
Steve, before we let you go, I got to ask you about the Orioles and the Yankees. Have you ever seen anything like what's happening? Gleyber Torres with 13 home runs this season against the Orioles.
Never. I mean, here it is. It's, you know, the only guy who's done more, I guess, is Lou Gehrig. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, had 14 home runs against the team in a season. You know, I mentioned this note. How about Gleyber Torres? He and Mike Schmidt's the last guy to do this in 1983 against the Expos, and now Gleyber Torres. Home runs at both ends of a doubleheader twice in the same season against the same team. And the idea that Brandon Hyde, you want to talk about being hot or owning another team. Runners on first and second, two outs yesterday.
In the eighth, yeah.
In the eighth inning, and they intentionally walk him. It wasn't first base was open, third base was open, and they walked him. Like, that's Barry Bonds sort of treatment, which is so unique. And to think about the domination, like, Torres has owned him, right? You know, so he's their daddy. Back to, you know, using Pedro Martinez's sort of verbiage, he's the Orioles' daddy. But the Yankees this year are 15-2 against Baltimore on the season. They've hit 59 home runs as a team against them so far. In 17 games, they've hit 59 home runs. It is an owning like I've never seen ever before.
Do you know who knows those numbers really well? Gary Thorne.
who, by the way, is just such a buddy. Gary Thorne and
we had him on just a few minutes ago.
Oh, he's the best. Like, so I broadcast games with him. He used to do Mets games. Then I did ESPN games with him. Then he and I sat in a booth to make calls for MLB 2K video games for over 200 hours. We sat next to each other in a booth.
I played them. You guys were good on those games, by the way.
And here's the thing, is that in those games, you call every potential scenario that could ever happen, right? You've got to have a call for it, including those ones that are sort of the extreme video game things where, you know, bases loaded, triple steal, or maybe just say a guy hitting 13 home runs in 16 games against a team. You have to have some commentary for that. And so the extreme, we never did it for a guy that would be that hot against anybody else. That tells you how extraordinary it is. Not even video game documentary, documents the sort of commentary just like that.
Steve, it really is something. We'll see what happens tonight. Thanks for talking to us.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Steve Phillips, yeah. Our Major League Baseball Blue Jays analyst.
Do you think they throw
Hang on.
Him later?
Wait.
They're
going
to throw him.
Wait.
I'm telling you.
Wait. Steve, join us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Are you leasing a Toyota? You could qualify for a brand new Toyota at no extra cost during Maple Toyota's lease renewal event. Visit mapletoyota.com/lease.
Sorry. I got a little carried excited. Away because I'm getting carried away because I'm wondering about tonight. I actually, as much as I want to watch, I'm torn. I want to watch the Jays and the Rangers, but I really do want to watch the Yankees and the Orioles because I don't think they're going to throw the same way to Gleyber Torres that they have.
You have to let me know. I'm going to the movies tonight.
What are you going to see?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I saw it.
Yeah?
Loved that particularly great ending.
No.
You know, honestly, are you a Tarantino fan?
Yeah.
I'm a Tarantino fan. It is a bizarre movie. I would say anybody go watch it. Make sure you know everything about the Charlie Manson, Sharon Tate situation going in. But the movie is, it's kind of about it. Leonardo DiCaprio is spectacular in this movie. So is Brad Pitt. I think DiCaprio is going to get an Oscar nomination. Have you seen Rocket Man?
Yes.
That dude. He was Eddie the Eagle, right?
Yeah.
He was spectacular. I love Bohemian Rhapsody, but he didn't sing Freddie Mercury's music. This guy sang Elton John's music. Yeah. No, you'll love the movie tonight.
Good. Okay, you can tell me how the baseball games went. still to come, we'll have Sound Wars, and we're giving away a McDonald's gift card coming up on Overdrive on TSN 1050 on the app and watching on TSN 4.
Is TSN 1050's Sound Wars.
They did it, Taylor!
It is Sound Wars, round two in the fun guy bracket. Starting off with LeBrun's chair. Pierre LeBrun joined us on Leafs Lunch to talk hockey, but it was hard for us not to become distracted by the sounds emitting from what he said was his chair.
That's not his chair.
Every pay period, that pool is accumulated. The players almost always go 50%, so the owners draw out of that escrow pool. What is that?
Are you drilling something? Are you doing some renovations?
My chair needs oil.
Wow, is it ever? That was not his chair.
When anybody mentions escrow, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
That's called escrow.
So that is up against this, the shoe shine. While waiting for his scrum to begin, Mike Babcock takes exception with the quality of care a particular reporter puts in his shoes. That reporter is our own Mark Masters.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
Lend you $5 for some shoe polish.
I was just saying that's
the NHL, man. Can you zoom in on his shoes, please? Can you get this on the thing? Like, that is disgraceful, man.
Bad weather, Mike.
It has nothing to do with it. Just polish them up.
I'm always pounding the pavement
give
looking.
Give you a five. You can get it done.
Your chance to vote. Go to tsn1050.ca and decide which clip is moving on. The Pierre LeBrun thing, I still can't. I mean, I'm really glad that my burp didn't make Sound worse. I burped on the air this year on Leafs Lunch. Carlo Colaiacovo brought in some, what do you call it, soppressata, the like Italian meats?
Yeah, what is it?
Salami. He brought it, yeah. And I
And you burped?
I ate a bunch and burped.
Yeah, well.
The only time I've ever burped on the air.
I work with a guy a lot. Who, how do I put this nicely? He farts a lot. Leo Routens.
What?
That's all he does. Got the big, I'm telling you, he's a gas bag. I love the man. He's one of my best friends.
He's not going to be happy.
He brought tears. No, he knows. I've said it all the time. And he always says, hey, one bad stomach. And I said, one bad stomach over the last decade. We had Sam Mitchell on. Sam didn't know. I told Sam about Leo's I think it's what Leo eats. He's got some probiotic diet or anything like that. And so Sam's sitting there, and Sam didn't know, and it was fine, you know, and we love Sam. And so it happened. There was an eruption in the studio while we were watching a game. Well, Sam gets up at halftime, he goes, by the way, this segment brought to you by Febreze. And he brings out the Febreze.
0-0-0.
Leo's got bad gas.
Really?
Breaking news.
I worked with a guy. I won't say who. I was calling a game with a guy who had the flu and barfed the whole game.
What?
He would like put the cough button out.
Not near you, right?
Yeah, sit next to me. Lean over and puke into a garbage can. And our poor statistician.
Was this when Glenn Hall was a color commentator?
He kept barfing into this, like,
really?
Probably like 8 or 9 times in the trash can.
This was a hockey.
We're doing junior hockey together.
Say the name. Go. I just threw Leo under a greyhound.
I'm not throwing this guy under the greyhound because he's a good guy and I don't want to.
It's just because we all puke.
Not on the air.
Well, some people might think we puke while we're on the air.
That might be a good point by you. All right, still to come, we're going to give away a McDonald's gift card in the next hour. We're going to talk to Davis Sanchez, and we'll wish happy birthday to...
Did you see the Ottawa Rough Rider, John Crockett, who puked this year on the field?
Ottawa Red Black, yeah.
Yeah? Did I say Rough Rider? Oh, sorry, Red Black. I only do the CFL. What am I...
We got to go. Next hour coming up on Overdrive at TSN 1050, on the app and on TSN 4.
Champions on the tennis court know the key to success is building a lead, then protecting it.
Game, e-set, match.
When it comes to protecting your online security, score an ace with e-set, official IT partner of Rogers Cup. Just like elite athletes, e-set provides unbeatable performance to keep all your child's back-to-school technology safe and secure. Visit your nearest Staples or Best Buy to take advantage of great back-to-school savings. Learn more at eset.ca. You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by ESET. Now at great back-to-school savings. Available at Staples, Best Buy, and ESET.ca.